Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Wednesday, we thank you for being on board, my friend. Well, should we check the weather?
Yeah, let's
we know
do.
It's a little warm in here because I had to turn the air conditioning off. I was freezing.
You get a little chilly.
Well, I'm weak. Maybe my blood's a little
is
thin
it thinning
these
a little
days.
Bit?
Well, when it's 73 outside, that's not
it's 73
what
right now.
Happens mostly cloudy. 73 downtown. It was 66 this morning. It was cooler than that.
Low humidity too, right?
Listen to this. Oh, yeah.
There's the zipper,
well,
yeah.
We get a little hot there. We're trying to get 17 buttons working going the same direction. I was a little nervous whether we put it in the rail.
Sounded good, though.
Well,
I liked the sound.
We couldn't hear it, but you could in radio land, so that's the good thing. 64 tonight, 57 overnight, and nothing better than a 10% chance of rain. Now, as we look at the extended forecast, those of you who don't like spring and are wondering, well, where'd spring is, please bring it back. We got you. We got you covered. Tomorrow, 80, mostly sunny, 57, but the wind's out of the northeast.
Yeah, it's going to be another beautiful day tomorrow.
Blow that humidity out of here. Same northeast wind on Friday, 82 and 59. And I noticed today, even though the air is cool, the sunshine's really hot.
Yeah.
So if you're in the sunshine, it feels great.
Yeah, it's got a high UV index, so you can get burned if you're out there.
And my grass has a high UV index right now because it is growing quickly. And for those of you who love summer, don't worry. 86, mostly sunny on Saturday, 88 on Sunday, and then 88, 87, 85 the next 3 days to start next week. So if you like warmth, we have warmth and rain, as we joked about a little bit. 20% chance Saturday and Sunday. Our next best chance, and that's not even great, is a 40% chance to get next week started. And then this time and later next week, we move to 50% and better. So what does it mean? It means get out there and enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah.
It's a little cool. When the sun goes down, you will notice it because there's not that humidity in the air. And it
that tropical weather's gone.
For now.
For now.
85 and 64, your average highs and lows. Your records are 146. We're nowhere near that. Yesterday, it said we almost had 9/10 of an inch of rain. That gives us their numbers are all screwed up because we can't have 0.87 one day. It didn't rain yesterday, by the way, so that can't be right. So let's hit refresh and see what happens here. Nothing yesterday. 3 inches in the last 7 days. 1.7 for the month of August, and we probably got all of that. Yeah, most of that on Saturday, and I would think a little bit on Monday. Updated forecast, live radar. You can find it all at WGCLradio.com. As we move on, every Wednesday, we check in with Indiana University. The doctor is in. He is our great friend, Chuck Carney. Chuck, good afternoon. How are you?
I am doing okay. How is everybody there?
Did you hear the introductory music this afternoon?
I couldn't hear the music, but I do know from your description that could only be the hit from Steeler's Wheel.
Excellent. Dr. Chuck will be on our trivia team whenever we're
That'd
allowed to go out and play trivia again in person and live. Dr. Chuck is the Director of Media Relations for the Indiana University System of Everything. And if we have questions about IU, we turn to him. And every Wednesday, we go through three big things. Captain Kellums leads us off. He is our left fielder batting first.
Well, I know you haven't talked much about COVID lately.
Oh, yeah,
so
COVID.
I thought we could just start with that since it's been keeping you busy, right?
Yeah, I have heard of that.
We know you're busy today because the Zoom gives you away. We've got folks. You remember the old movie War Games?
Oh, yeah.
Great movie, right?
Right. Matthew Broderick.
DEFCON 1 was okay. DEFCON 2, yeah. DEFCON 3, well, we're starting to pay attention. DEFCON 4, look out in DEFCON. Chuck's at DEFCON 4 today.
DEFCON 4, and students are coming back, Chuck. Isn't that kind of the big thing you're preparing for?
We should have went with traffic then. Stevie
started
Winwood.
Traffic.
Oh, there you go.
We'll get this all figured out.
Traffic is always a good selection.
Absolutely. But, Chuck, we know you are busy with COVID today. Questions that people are going to have, let's start off with which website do you go to, because all that information is very handily available.
Yeah, so, and apologies, my audio broke up there for a moment, so I think I heard everything, but so we are, and I hope you can hear me is the other part of this. So the we do have students returning to campus starting this weekend. And when they arrive, and it'll be no more than 1,500 students a day that will be arriving in a staggered check-in. And that'll be happening starting Sunday. And it's pretty strict hours for it as well. It can only go to can't go past 5 p.m. Just because of manpower and trying to limit the crowds. So that will start on Sunday in full. So as a reminder, and we've talked about it here before, the students who are living in on-campus housing are going to have submitted a COVID test from the 10 days prior to when they move in. And to clarify a bit more on that, if they are coming this early, they are generally here for early programming, things that they need to start before classes start for everybody else. But some could be dropping off items. If they're dropping off, that 10 days clock starts from the time backwards from when they actually move in to live. So it'll depend on where they fall, on whether they're coming here to stay or whether they're just dropping things off. But nonetheless, everybody living on campus, and that includes Greek houses, will need to have supplied a COVID test and show that they're negative. If they aren't negative, they're going to have to supply a negative test before they can move in. In addition, students arriving on campus will be tested on site, and they'll be doing arrival testing, which has a quick result, which is about 20 minutes or so. And then if they have a negative test, they can proceed on. If they have a positive test, then they'll have to have a conversation about where they need to go, whether it be home or into an isolation residence hall room. And then once students are here, we'll do surveillance testing, which will be randomly sampling students, faculty, and staff once the semester starts. We'll be testing everyone as often as possible. And as described by the what I would say is the czar of all of this for IU, Dr. Aaron Carroll, he said we'll start at about 10,000 people a week on our campuses, and then building up to our on-campus testing, we'll eventually have two labs in Indianapolis and one in Bloomington, and we should be able to do 10,000 tests a day by the end of 8 weeks after that.
Wow, that's amazing. Now, the students that aren't living on campus,
Great question.
We testing them as well when they come to classes?
Well, everybody will be tested before they are allowed back on campus. So when they arrive for arriving on campus, they will need to have a negative test. And that'll be the same thing as the arrival tests that are being done with the students who are checking into the residence halls. And in addition, we will, with the surveillance testing, we'll be constantly keeping an eye not just on all the students, but all the faculty and staff. So I'll get to have that test at some point, probably many times over the course of a semester. If they are coming onto the campus, they'll have to have a negative test. And if they are found during surveillance testing to have tested positive, then we begin the process of isolation for that person, but also contact tracing. And IU has hired contact tracers who will be working through this to make sure that they are in touch with close contacts, that those contacts know that they have been exposed, and they can begin isolation. So the goal is to, first of all, try to begin the semester as close to zero as we can for people arriving with infections, and then try to catch the infections as they might arise throughout the semester. And the other thing we're emphasizing with students right now, we are saying, absolutely, if you are symptomatic, if you feel ill, or you suspect that you have been exposed to COVID, don't come to campus. We are not going to allow people to come in with a positive test, but moreover, we're asking them if they feel like they are ill or have been exposed, don't come.
Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest this afternoon, checking in from Indiana University. And Chuck, how do you process these tests? Who administers these tests? How do you pay for these tests? That is heavy lifting, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we're paying for them, and so that's the easy answer to that. There are a variety of tests. Many of those are being sent off right now But as we build up our testing capacity, many of those will be done on site. And that will, of course, speed up the testing and also allow us to do more testing. You know, we are, of course, at the mercy of things arriving and the availability of things. But right now, those things will be sent off. And we will, aside from the arrival test, which are quick result tests, they do have to be sent off.
And then just to clear up the off-campus, if you live off-campus, you have to be tested before you come on campus, but that seems to be up to the off-campus people to get that done themselves?
They'll be contacted
about
to be tested. And so a lot of those details are going to be coming. One of the things, and I know that people who have been listening to me and listening to other people talk about this over the last several weeks, they go, well, geez, you keep saying, well, we're details to come. Well, that's true. And I would say that
you're not lying to us, right?
This didn't happen in the summer of 1979. There's not a previous plan that we can look forward to, look back to say, this is what we're going to follow on this. So a lot of this is being created as we are talking about. So some of the details are to come, but you know, I will present my senior at IU who's lives upstairs from me, my own daughter, and she is going to have to, she'll get an email at some point and she will have to submit to this test to go back to campus.
And the reason I think some people just get confused is, well, OptumServe is going to close their testing site at the end of August. So how are all these people going to get tested? How are we going to do everything? Well, that's part of being flexible. That's part of making sure you use pencil and not permanent marker when we do any of this stuff. So that's how it's kind of going to be until we know how it's for surely going to be. That's right. It's something that this studio hasn't seen in absolutely in years. Chuck Carney, the good doctor, is with us today. He checks in three big things at Indiana University. And let's see what else is on our list today. Well, the campus on-campus students, off-campus students, everybody. What are the big dates? August 1st, usually you can move in. August 15th is usually a big one. And then school starts on the 24th. But your dorm policy this year is completely different. I'm not going to bore the audience with that, but it's not going to be, hey, everybody show up on that Wednesday, and then we're done with it, right?
Right, right. We there will be no big move-in day, per se. So beginning Sunday, August 9th, students will begin showing up with an appointment. So they can't simply decide they're going to move in on the 9th. They have to have an appointment to move in. And again, that's to prevent us from creating the crowds that, of course, by the state mandate, we can't have in one place to, and of course, that's to keep us from potentially spreading disease by having a lot of people in one place. So students will be arriving, but they won't be all en masse. They will be in these gradual sort of pods of showing up, and we'll move them through so that effectively we're keeping people apart. This has been something that our executive director of University Events, Doug Boer, has been working on, trying to make sure that he sets up the logistics for, and of course this involves our medical people and also the residence hall people. It's an amazing operation that they are setting up here, and it's something that is going to take a lot of work, and they are working on it as we speak. And fortunately, I only have to talk about it. I don't have to do the real hard work.
So let me get this straight. You're going to have people not show up en masse, but they will be in masks.
You mean like in... I don't really get into that, but I suppose so.
He tried really hard for that one.
I did. I was thinking about that way too hard because the wheels in my steels in my head were churning. Captain Poison Ivy over here had to go to the old clinic the other day.
I did. And you know what was interesting when I went into the clinic to get help for my little Poison Ivy problem?
It's a lot Poison Ivy problem. Poison Ivy.
It was empty. There wasn't a soul in there. And then I see today that IU did a study about non-COVID health issues. What was up with that?
Well, this is one of these that, of course, you sort of look at and you go, well, yeah, that figures. But the other reason for doing research, even when you think, well, that figures, you need to think about what does this mean down the road. And this is one of those studies. So this is a study done by IU, Kosali Simon, who's in the O'Neill School, studied the U.S. data for the U.S. healthcare system since early March. And as states closed things down, but even as they opened up, the researchers found that the use of non-COVID-19 care declined during this time period as people either just put off or simply skipped care. And you know, all of us speaking for, I had an appointment that I canceled. I mean, it's just when you start thinking about, do I need to go in to do this? You think twice a bit. Well, of course, the implication is, what is the healthcare going to be down the road? What do people, what might be the result of that if they're not getting the preventative care, but might what might be skipping that they might need to have? So what they did, they examined a nationwide electronic data healthcare record system, 35 million patients from January of 2019 through June 30th of this year. And they focused on outpatient visits, outpatient procedures, and lab tests for non-COVID care. It declined about 40% during the first 6 weeks of the pandemic from March to mid-April. And that tells you how things have certainly leveled off. And it's something that will have some impact on healthcare moving harder to get an appointment as you try to go back in and get healthcare afterwards as well. It's this has had an impact on the healthcare system that is really unlike anything, and not just because of COVID care.
I know I was very surprised at how empty the clinic was, and I've never seen it like that. And did they have any recommendations with this study about what they think they're going to see in the future, or what they can do to maybe help some of those problems when everybody starts to get back for that preventative care that they've put on hold for so long?
Well, primarily they want the healthcare system to prepare for addressing the consequences that may be caused by the shortfalls in healthcare. So be ready for these areas where things fell off so much. So things like heart disease, visits associated with heart disease fell off really dramatically, as did outpatient visits for diabetes and cancers. So the one good sign is that mental health outpatient visits declined far less than the other care categories. And as we've all seen, there have been numerous stories about mental health care during this pandemic, as this has been a time that has exacerbated some of those things. So perhaps that one is in less worse shape, but these other things are really just simply things that we'll need to be watching for. So healthcare system is going to have to be on alert for this.
I like that. Less worse care.
Less worse care.
Less worse case. Less. That's good. That's good. That's why you're the doctor. Chuck Carney, the director of media relations. I'm not going to bug you with the Big Ten's statement today. I'm not going to bug you with the players' rebuttal on getting their opinions to the higher ups to because they have a big stake in the athletics game, obviously, or stadium capacities, ticket information, none of that. I'm not going to bother with you any of that. I'm not even going to bother.
I am not the expert on that, for sure.
I'm not even going to bother you with the new hospital, Indiana IU Health Hospital, that's going to start being built in Bloomington or in Indianapolis. I'm not even going to bother you with that.
Okay.
What about the hospital here? I'm not even going to bother you with that. You got too many things going on, my friend. We appreciate your time as always. Next Wednesday will be, let's see, that will be the first day of school in the MCCSC. When does RBB go back?
The 17th.
So we'll have
the Monday after that.
The Monday after that. So we'll have new layers of things going on, but no one's going back to school, but people are going back to IU, and we will see them start moving in coming up on Sunday. All right, Chuck, great job. We'll let you get back to work. Luckily for you, there's only 24 hours in a day. If there were 25, you'd be overworked tremendously.
Well, thank you. And let me make one last plug. The reason you see me in the shirt and tie here, and we need to put this on C-SPAN so people can see that. But I would encourage people, if you have questions about the IU testing and all of that, and want to hear somebody with real expertise explain it, go to broadcast.iu.edu and look for the Healthy IU webinars that I've been hosting. And the one from July 30th is particularly informative which in which Dr. Aaron Carroll goes through the testing along with a couple of his colleagues at the School of Medicine. It is as good an explanation as you will get, and I encourage people to do that.
Excellent. Well, we always find great advice from you, and this week is not any different. Good to hear your voice again. Good to see you again. Stay out of trouble, and we'll talk next Wednesday.
Thank you.
Chuck Carney, the doctor. He's the director of media relations and the spokesperson for Indiana University. And he's busy.
He's busy.
Very busy. Very well, busy. We appreciate him spending time with us on Wednesday so we can clear up any misconceptions of things that are floating around, and especially with everybody coming back to town. Now it's going to be in layers, hopefully. Again, just like everything else has been in stages,
we're going to see this thing build with that many tests they're going to be doing too. We're going to see a lot of things kind of starting to happen at the same time.
Ready, fire, aim.